Welcome to the Sioux City Journal's Game of Thrones podcast. Something new, something different. Yes, I am sports editor Jeff Budlong, and I am joined by the sports department's Charlie Hildebrand. Charlie, we kind of threw this idea around, I don't know, several months ago because, hey, every once in a while we want to have some fun and do something different. And you and I are about the only two guys, I think, in the sports department and really in the newsroom at large that watch this show very much. And I feel like I've been waiting for this show to start its new season, season 7, for about as long as the characters have been waiting for winter to come in Game of Thrones. But welcome to our Game of Thrones podcast, Charlie.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you selected me to do this out of, I guess I was the only other option. Thank you still.
There you go. Well, like I said, you know, neither of us have read books, is my understanding. No. Yep. So you haven't read the books. I haven't read the books.
My sister did.
That's what I hear.
But
yep.
Not me.
So we are just strictly talking a little bit about everything that we've taken in through six seasons so far of the Game of Thrones show there on HBO. And I guess I felt that now was the best time to kind of kick this off, Charlie, because we're still months away from the new season, season 7, coming out. That's, I believe, in July at some point is what I last saw when the new season will come out. But HBO released the first official trailer today, which is Thursday. So we thought, hey, let's give it a shot. And it came as a shock to me. It was the first official trailer, Charlie, because if you go to YouTube, there's like 9 billion.
There's a whole bunch of fake trailers.
Yeah, there's a lot of fake trailers. So anyway, not a whole lot of information in this, I think, 2-plus-a-little-bit-minute trailer that came out. Basically, we have Jon, we have Cersei, and we have the Mother of Dragons. They're all kind of doing the walk-around routine in different areas in Game of Thrones. And I don't know, what your initial thoughts from this this trailer? What'd you think? What'd you glean?
There wasn't a whole lot to take from it. They look like they're each in their sort of place of residence, with Jon Snow in Winterfell up north and Cersei in King's Landing in the south. Couldn't tell where Khaleesi is. I think she might be in Dragonstone, where Stannis Baratheon used to be, but that might not be accurate. But, you know, it seems like they all sort of think they're the king's in charge, and maybe someone else at the end of the trailer / preview thought they'd be in charge too, and I guess we'll find out who is at some point before the show's over.
Exactly. Couple of interesting things to add on to that. In case we didn't believe it, I guess. I mean, it was pretty much stated that winter was finally here. It's kind of been, like I alluded to, it's been kind of the one of the major themes overarching the entire series, but has taken 6 seasons to actually get to full-on winter. But at the end of that trailer, Cersei takes a deep breath, and you can see her breath as she exhales. So I think that was kind of our reminder, in case you forgot, winter is here.
Winter is here. And I think Jon Snow said it in the last episode of the series finale. I don't remember. It was him and Sansa talking, and he said something like, oh, just like Dad always said, winter's here now. And, yep, just reinforcing that. It's lots of nice locales. Other than up at the wall, everything looked really nice and sunny for the most part. It is probably not going to be like that anymore.
No, very different. So,
very Midwest and winter-esque.
Yep. And I can't take credit for this coming off the trailer, but the place that I went to view it, somebody had mentioned, as much as that draws our attention to the battle for the crown, as far as who's going to be ruling Westeros and that kind of thing, the other reminder, I guess, too, was the fact that the trailer ends with, oh, yeah, don't forget the White Walkers are truly the big enemy. Regardless of who, quote-unquote, becomes king, it may not matter because you may be ruling absolutely nothing, because the biggest thing that needs to be taken care of is somebody eventually is going to have to stand up to these White Walkers and figure this thing out if we're actually going to have a kingdom to rule.
Yeah, and there's something I kind of wanted to touch on. We can do that later when we get into other stuff regarding that. But, yeah, I mean, there's two things going on, and it kind of seems like it might work out in, I mean, I don't want to get into too much of it now, but like in my brain, it seems like the sequence of events works a certain way, but I was kind of like, oh, you know, actually, they don't necessarily have to do it that way, and it could be interesting. It's always been entertaining. I'm sure that this will also be, since they're pretty good at that.
You bet. Well, kind of taking a step back, obviously we're six seasons in. We assume if you're listening to this podcast, you probably watch two. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot of reason I'd imagine you would pick.
Otherwise, this is going to be really spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. And you're really going to not have any idea. And since we're six seasons in, we're not going to waste time talking a whole lot about going through the series blow by blow. Frankly, we don't have that kind of time. And like I said, if you're not watching, there's really no reason you'd be listening to this. But, Charlie, we did want to talk a little bit about just overall, you know, I got in real late, quite honestly, because I didn't have HBO for when this series started. So I think I binge-watched four or five seasons and then started a couple seasons ago actually watching with everybody else. And, you know, it took me probably about a half a season to, like, just overcome the volume of characters and story going on at one time. So, I mean, that was one thing that – but it became just kind of a passion on Sunday nights. So, you know, it was a night off, and it was just fun television. I mean, it's kind of gory, gruesome television at times, but I think it's also – I think it's also a lot of fun storytelling.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's really good at what it does, and that's why so many people watch it. I mean, even – I mean, I guess not – not everybody probably watches it legally. I think you and I both do because it's just easier that way.
Yep.
But I know there's a lot of people that don't. But I mean, like when you're talking, you know, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it's like the most, you know, pirated thing ever. In addition to being like the most watched HBO show ever too. So clearly, you know, on a premium channel, there's a lot of people that watch it.
You bet. You bet. I mean, kind of. Let's start with, do you have an overarching, when somebody says Game of Thrones, do you have an overarching, like, favorite scene, moment, memory? What kind of comes to your mind first when somebody asks you about this show, Charlie?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something, if there was a moment, like, early on, because, you know, you said you started watching it. I think I saw one or two episodes in season one, because when I was in Brookings at South Dakota State, a friend of mine had HBO. And I didn't see the first one. It was like the second or the third episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, that seems like kind of good. But I didn't really get it. And then didn't get a chance to watch it for a while. And then for the first two or three seasons, I think my sister had them. So when she would, you know, we'd meet up at, you know, our parents' house or whatever, I would just binge watch them then. And I think it was like season four where I started watching it. And it was a big jump waiting week to week. But yeah. And like, there's a lot of fun stuff in the first, you know, two, three, four seasons, but like the thing that sticks out the most to me of like the most, and like it's tough to encapsulate the whole show when there's like three super, like there's three major storylines along with like, I don't know, 20 or so other, like still really important but minor ones, but of the major one, the thing that sticks out to me the most is it's North of the Wall. I forget the name of the episode. I think it was season five. But where they go and there's all the free folk north of the wall. And then there's something going on and then there's all the White Wall. I think that they were trying to come up with a deal. The Night's Watch and the free folk of like, yeah, we should probably team together.
The Hard Home episode.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes,
the Hard Home.
That
and then they
is,
all came up.
Yes.
And then, you know, the White Walkers showed up. And then it was specifically, it's the, you know, the one comes out and is like starts beating up Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, he'll be fine. He won't die. Which it turned out a few episodes later that was wrong. But, like, basically, you know, he gets, like, pushed out and, you know, the sound goes all quiet, you know. And I just remember I was like, I don't know. Maybe he will die. And then, you know, like every time their swords hit the other ones, they shatter and everything.
Yeah.
And he sticks his up, and then it doesn't shatter. And I just remember being like, whoa, what? And then he hits it, and it just, you know, shatters or whatever, the White Walker.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the thing that sticks out. Like, there's a lot of other things that are really fun.
Yeah.
You know, the Mountain and Oberyn Martell fighting was fun with, you know, not the ending most people wanted, and it was particularly gruesome. But I like that. But the the Hard Home thing is probably my favorite.
That is one of easily one of my top episodes as well. I think that everybody enjoyed that one. Obviously, you always hear a lot about the Red Wedding because I mean, that was just because of the sheer violence involved in that and the number of key characters, at least at that point, that were lost. You're like, how can this possibly go on? And then As the seasons roll on, you just realize that's par for the course, and yeah. they just will roll out some new important people, or maybe guys or gals that were maybe a little more minor characters will all of a sudden take on more significant roles. I've always been a huge fan of Tyrion Lannister because I think he brings some lightness to the show, which so often was needed.
And in the show where so many people try to accomplish, not everybody, a lot of people try to accomplish things by closing their eyes and swinging their sword as hard as they can.
Right.
Which frequently does not work out well at all.
Right.
That he comes at things from a different angle. And I think that's one of the things. Yeah. In addition to, I'm blanking on the actor who plays him.
Peter Dinklage. Yep.
Does a fantastic job of playing him too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that is actually in my favorite, if I had to say my favorite scene or favorite moment or favorite episode, when he is put on trial, and he's like in this little like witness box, and they've got him, and they're deciding, you know, is he going to have be put to death? Is there going to be trial by combat? And he just decides, he just has had enough, and he's fed up, and he decides, like, I'm just going to tell these people what I really think. And that's when he turns around and the people that are gathered and tells them, you know, when our city was under siege, I wish I would have let them just wipe you guys out. And he gets just so upset. And then he goes through this big long spiel, and like by the time he's just basically alienated everybody except for his brother Jamie, and it just goes black. And I just like, I thought that was a great scene for him. And I love that. That's something I just think of when I think of Game of Thrones.
I know. I don't remember everything he said. In fact, I don't remember most of what he says there. But the only thing I remember specifically is, you know, he's on trial for killing Joffrey, which he didn't do. And then at some point during, I don't think it's the last thing he says, but I think it might even be one of the first things when he's yelling at all the people spectating. He says, I did not kill him, but I wish that I had.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Which probably describes almost everybody on that show also, because both characters on the show and fans watching it, because nobody liked Joffrey. And
exactly.
Was happy when he was gone.
Yeah. And I guess the thing that entertains me most, one of the things that entertains me most about this show is like, When Joffrey died, I thought, well, how are they going to fill that, like, that villain void? You know, like, because we were losing. Like, no, it was, like, we were all happy.
I'm laughing
because
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, you know, because, like,
it turned out they found a way to do it.
Yeah, and, like, it's never a problem. But for a minute there, you know, you're like, man, like, as happy as you were, like, that, like, this ending finally came, I really started to wonder, you know, but they always find a way. There's all, not surprisingly, I guess, in the times and the way that this thing is set up, they always find a way.
I know a lot of people thought, now that Ramsay Snow's dead, who's going to fill that role? And then the next episode, Cersei Lannister blows up half the city.
Yeah.
Much like a modern-day terrorist, I guess. And,
yeah.
Now she's in charge of everything down there, so I'm sure she will flex her villainous muscles quite well.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, and I guess the other thing that I really get into, just because you know, this is where you can obviously, you know, just take a step away, and this is where you can just enjoy the show for what it is. The magical element of the show has always been talked about, and as the seasons go on, it becomes more and more a part of it, obviously, with the dragons and different things like that. But, you know, I think, and I'm going to transition to kind of like what I expect to see, at least some of it, for season 7. I'm really excited for, at least I hope, that they advance Bran. I mean, like, the guy took a year off, like, in the storytelling thing. I mean, he was just not there for a season. And, you know, he spent a year, or at least a season, I don't exactly know how long, you know, with the one-eyed Raven. And now he's kind of in a series where kind of we've been talking about all these people. You mentioned Jon Snow dies. Well, you know, he's quote-unquote reanimated, and Mother of Dragons has her dragons, and yet does it not seem like Bran had the potential to be quote-unquote the strongest character when it comes to his powers?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we don't really – I mean, they've sort of shown us like a glimpse of what he can do, but it's all kind of like theoretical. And,
right.
Like we don't really know yet. And so, I mean, he could be, you know – I mean, I don't know. I hate to compare stuff to other things. Sometimes it's not perfect also because if someone doesn't get both of them. But, I mean, it's also – I mean, I don't know if he's just like – is he like Professor X in the X-Men now? Or is he like – or is it like – nah, he's like 10 times stronger than that.
Right. Yeah, so I think that's something interesting. Oh, one other episode that I do have to say before we move on to more thoughts on season 7 coming up here. The Hodor episode, where we found out how he came to be, one of my favorites. I don't know if it'll stand the test, but I just remember being on Twitter after that, because I always like to see what people... And
so do I. I didn't before, but especially the last season or so.
Yeah. Yeah. And people were freaking out. That drew a ton of comments, and just kind of his backstory and how he became to be, because he truly was a gentle giant in a world full of ruthless people.
Yeah.
So I think that made it fun. But something you're excited for that potentially happening. You know, I want to see Bran's powers more come into focus. What about you for season 7?
There's a few things I'm interested in. One of them is just that, it seems like, and Bruce, who does most of this stuff most of the time, our editor of, editor of everything.
Yes, Bruce.
So not just my boss, Bruce, but also your boss.
Definitely. Bruce Miller, who I'm already trying to lobby, if this takes off, to come, because he hasn't really watched the show, not a huge fan. I would love to get him on this podcast, though, because he's got thoughts on it. So yeah. We're lobbying.
But I know he could talk more about this than I could, but I know, there's usually, three acts and things, in movies or TV shows, and I'm usually not great at, oh, this is clearly the end of Act 1. But if, you were looking at the entire series of Game of Thrones so far, the most recent season is, the end of Act 2.
Definitely.
Where it's all right, now everything's set up for the climax. And, it seems like the most... I don't know how it's going to play out, but it seems like a logical way would be Daenerys comes to Westeros, and at some point, her and Jon Snow team up, and then they're like, all right, let's get rid of Cersei Lannister, and then we'll fight the White Walkers, and that's not just for this season, that's the rest
right.
of the series. And,
right.
And it might work out that way, but I don't know. I was just thinking, what if it's oh, this is a big problem, and we need to deal with it. We need to deal with this before Cersei Lannister.
Right.
Sort of in World War II, they dealt with the Nazis before they finished the Japanese.
Right.
But if they were no, we got to deal with the White Walkers first. You can help us, Cersei. And she's just nah, you guys do it yourselves. And then if it's oh, well, they beat the White Walkers, but they're kind of mostly dead for the most part. And now Cersei's oh, guess what?
Right.
I don't think it necessarily will.
Well, but I could definitely see, because... I think in season 6, as it ended, right, we were all set up for that there was going to be this battle between Jon, Cersei, and Daenerys there. So it wouldn't shock me if HBO doesn't give us exactly what we're expecting to begin with. And I imagine there will be some sort of twist, because I can't, even though the seasons are going to be... Are we getting 10 full episodes this year?
I don't think it's 10.
Is it just 8?
I don't
8?
Remember the number, but I think it's I was going to guess 7.
Okay, so it's shorter than it has been. So, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's a few episodes before we get to what we thought would be the leading off. So that wouldn't surprise me. So I'm with you on that. So what else season 7 about?
And then the other thing, I would imagine that Daenerys Stormborn and all her 47,000 titles she's attained by now.
Yeah, which is kind of a running joke.
That maybe they should get along with Jon Snow, but. Maybe not. There's all sorts of characters that
right.
you think could get along in Game of Thrones, but don't end up hating each other. And maybe they fight each other, and then the winner has to fight Cersei. I don't know. It seems like a lot of times, and we've probably all been victim to this at some point in the past with Game of Thrones, where you're like, all right, now I got it. This is how it's going to play
yeah.
out. And then two episodes later, it's like, nope, all those characters I thought were going to do this are all dead now.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. The other thing I think will be interesting, because I think everybody assumes now, because every season up until this season has been a 10-episode season.
Yeah.
These last two are going to be shorter, and I don't remember exactly how short, but they're not going to be 10. So one thing that has been a little bit of a struggle with Game of Thrones is there has seemed to be maybe one or even two episodes per season where they really kind of drug their feet. They could have done this in a shorter, but they had 10
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah,
so everything should be...
every other show is
right.
way more notorious. I mean, not every show, but any hour-long TV
right.
show that's 20 episodes. Like if you watch 24, which I don't watch anymore but used to, they would all the time be like, all right, we got to kill like 7 episodes.
Right.
So it's a problem Game of Thrones has too, but at least they seem
better. But I think these last two, at least you hope because there's less. I mean, I don't want any of these last episodes, I don't remember if it's 14, 16, whatever it is. You know, there shouldn't be a quote-unquote wasted episode. I mean, there should be enough because it seems like they still have a lot to get covered if you're shortening episodes. So I would – because I know, like, you know, you begin a season, even with the – when John was, oh, is he dead, is he not kind of thing. It was still 2 or 3 episodes before he came to life.
It was the end of the second episode when he came back.
So,
we have a whole first episode.
Right, and most of the second. You know, so I'm hoping that everything is a little more faster-paced. And, you know, every episode I have to sit back and be like, wow, there is a heck of a lot to process. Not that there wasn't always something to, but some episodes you're like, man, seemed like we could have got more done. So it'll be interesting to see how that paces out with the shorter seasons.
Another interesting thing in there was some, I don't know, and I didn't come up with this myself, someone else told me, but in odd numbered seasons, like someone really important unexpectedly dies, and in even numbered seasons there's usually like some massive battle or fight or something. So in season 1, Ned Stark died, which is the first shocking thing of many shocking things.
Yep.
In season 3, you had the Red Wedding.
Yep.
Which killed off half the Starks. In season 5, Jon Snow died. He's since come back, but he still died, and it shocked.
It was the major cliffhanger.
Also, and that was like that. Honestly, probably shocked me more than any of the things I'd seen before that. At that point, and I know a lot of people had different things spoiled for them. I knew that Ned Stark died ahead of time. I had that spoiled for me. But now in season 7, where there's not that many, I mean, there's still a lot of characters left, but certainly a heck of a lot fewer.
Right.
Like, if there's someone that it's like, you know, like, is there someone that they're going to be like, all right, this person's got it figured out. And they'd be like, nope, we're going to kill them off now.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I don't want to make predictions, but I guess I'm going.
Yeah, let's make one. I mean, let's go with that. If they were gonna kill off a quote unquote major character that you just didn't think,
and could I'm talking just for this season, not for the final season 8, but for season 7.
Yeah,
I don't think Jon Snow's gonna die. I mean, well, let's put it this way: he might die. Anybody could die in like the last episode of the series.
Right.
I think he's gonna be fine till then. So it seemed like the next one that would be the most surprising and shocking then would be if Khaleesi died.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to say, who can we kill to make everyone do, you know, the every 2 years or so, where they're like, no, I can't believe they killed this person.
Right.
I hate this show now. I don't know if don't know if they're going to, but if you were going to say the most shocking one, it would probably be that, I think.
Okay. That would do it.
Now, I think I'm going to throw Cersei, it'd be a big deal, but I think everybody expects her to die at some point this season anyway.
But I want to turn the tables. What if, and this is my kind of crazy, but what if, and maybe it's not a big enough deal anymore because he's been kind of marginalized or whatever. What if it's Jaime? What if Cersei lives, but in order to make it still happen, she's got to kill her brother / lover, which I'm not going to get into too much, but that's the way. Would that be shocking enough?
I think it would be surprising. I don't think Maybe I'm just jaded through years of Game of Thrones. I think it would be incredibly surprising, but not to the same degree as some of those other ones were.
Okay. All right. Very good.
But I don't know. I think part. I do not care for Cersei. Now, granted, I don't think you're supposed to like her.
Right.
So, you know, kudos that they've done that right.
Yeah.
And like most people, I did not like Jaime Lannister because I don't think you're supposed to like Jaime at the beginning.
Right.
But as it keeps going and you learn more about him, you're like, oh, maybe he's not that bad. And then all of a sudden in like season 4 or 5, you're like, wait, this guy's one of like my 4 or 5 favorite characters.
Right.
Now.
Yep.
But I expect both of them to be dead before the thing's over.
All right.
I don't know. I don't have any super deep insight on that. It just seems like they're both going to die.
All right. Okay. Well, we are going to, we could obviously, because this is the first one, we could talk for hours, but we're going to try to keep this in the 30-minute range. So, if you're going to – let's do – we were just going to do it at the end of this season. But because we're having – we'll do one overarching. At the end of Game of Thrones, when this thing concludes in 2 years –
so not just this season. Right. The whole series.
Yep. Who – and it may not even exist, but for our purposes, because it still does. And who is sitting on the Iron Throne? So who wins Game of Thrones – by the end of this thing?
I'm torn between going with, like, a relative, like, the more likely answer or the out of left field, wouldn't it be crazy if this happened?
Well, let's do both. Give me your crazy out of left field first, and then I'll
crazy
give you...
out of left field.
Yeah,
Gendry, the guy who was rowing the boat.
See,
and we haven't seen him since.
Like, he'd be the buffest guy ever, though, right? Like, he wouldn't even need to use a sword for defense because that guy's been rowing since like season two.
And I don't know how they'd do it, especially with only like 14 episodes. But technically, he's I think the only person left that through birth is related to the king,
right?
And then I think like a more
Let me do my crazy, and it's not so much crazy, but I think people would be like, "You've got to be kidding me! I watched this for 9 years, and this person is the one that quote unquote wins." Littlefinger. What if everybody major ends up killing each other, and this guy is just like, "Hey, I'm fine," you know?
I think of our less likely ones. I think mine would be more interesting, fun, and satisfying. I think yours is much more likely to actually happen, though. Like, I'm not saying... Like, I don't know. Like, I would say mine's at, like, 1.5% chance, where yours, you know, is not 50, but it might be, like, 25%.
Right, so it's, right. So, I mean, and I understand that, yeah. It's not, like, a left field what if, but, like, I feel like people kind of forgot about, like, him in the sense of, like, his... And I realize, you know, like, he's trying to team up with Sansa, and so we got to play that out and stuff, but...
He's not a good person.
No, not at all.
You got to respect the way he plays the game.
Exactly.
He's good at playing the Game of Thrones.
Exactly. So, all right. And we'll end it with more, you know, of the kind of the major characters that were at this point, at least led to believe that. And it could be, you know, maybe two of these characters that are end up, you know, like ruling together or whatever, but we're going to limit it to one. So if you had to pick one person to be, quote unquote, winning the Game of Thrones by the time this is over, who is it?
I'll keep it brief, but I will say that generally your Littlefinger thing where a whole bunch of people kill each other, but it's not Littlefinger, it's your guy Tyrion Lannister on the throne.
That would be sweet.
Who somehow, even though they didn't plan on it, has kind of sort of been groomed for this his entire life in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
At least certainly since the series started.
Definitely. All right, and I will go more traditional, but... I think it's the guy that can't be killed. Like, he says he doesn't want to be brought back, but I think it's Jon Snow. Because even if you kill him, we're just one Red Priestess away from bringing him back. So I'll go with Jon Snow.
And less times in the entertainment industry, and this is entertainment, whenever people say they don't want to do something, those are the people you want doing it the most in whatever role or whatever.
There you go.
There would be a lot of... kind of a nice wrap up that way.
Definitely.
I like Jon Snow, so yeah. I'd be happy with that.
And I mean, that's that would be it truly would be a complete circle for the Stark family, right? I mean, because for 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, this family knew nothing but, you know, just being trampled and everybody getting killed, and basically everybody played them wrong, and they always came out on the short end of the stick. Obviously, that started to tilt this past season, and so. We'll see how it goes, I guess.
One last thing real quick. If something I want to see happen, and it doesn't need to be this season, it could be in the final season, but like at some point in time, preferably before they all see each other again, let me rephrase that, that Jon Snow and Sansa and Bran and Arya, like all... like come together and are like eating, and like, and it doesn't need to be some big fancy thing, but are like eating dinner somewhere, and it's like the first, I mean, I guess John and Sansa have seen each other, but it's the first time,
yeah,
like they've all seen each other, and then they're just like, oh, let's just have like 10 minutes where we just talk about all the weird stuff we've seen over the last 6 seasons, that they'll all say, nah, that can't be true, or I guess it would be like the sibling version of like, oh, you think that's crazy,
right?
Oh, you can change your faces, Arya. Well, I died and came back to life.
Right.
Just do that for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun.
Which is a good point, because we haven't really seen this. The Stark siblings, I don't know how early into season one that they all took up, but it wasn't maybe 2 or 3 episodes at max that they were.
Other than some of the kids being together. And then I guess some of them went to King's Landing with Ned. I think the two daughters
did. Right, the two daughters did.
But, like, by the end of season one, other than Bran and the other one who I'm blanking on his name and is dead now anyway.
Yeah, because he couldn't zigzag. That is one of the flaws in the show, and I can't think of his name either.
But he was. I think they last saw each other in season three.
Okay.
But so it was basically, other than those two, they hadn't met since season one, any of them, except
right.
when Jon Snow and Sansa, who I guess actually never talked. I mean, I'm sure in the character history of
right.
their lives they talked, but in the show, we'd never seen them talk till the one episode.
Right. All right. Well, lots to think about. We will actually, hopefully, Charlie, we're doing this as a test run, so we'll see. But we had kind of talked, as they release some more trailers or some more fun information maybe gets released, we'll be back, do maybe a couple more pods before the season gets started, and then sometime in July, each week, we will do a recap for something fun. So, Charlie, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll be back talking to you soon.